from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right. We have now made it our goal to have somebody on the show that covers the Oakland A's. I am not entirely convinced that these people exist. Now, we have had on this show maybe a beat writer for every NFL team at some point. We had a guy from Carolina on earlier this year when we went through the Chiefs schedule. We have had somebody on that covers every NFL team. Now, Rob, we have just started to dip our toes back into the baseball beat writer pool. There wasn't really a reason to have somebody on from the Oakland A's last year. For what? What could you tell us about the Oakland A's that we would care about? But now that the Royals got a chance to make the playoffs and they're trading for Oakland A's players, we would like to have somebody from Oakland onto the show. We had our boss in charge of it. You know what he said? We don't have anybody. No one goes over there. No one pays attention to the Oakland A's. It's a wasteland over there. They're drawing 7,000 people, and they're about to move to Sacramento and play at a minor league stadium for the last 3 years. It's bad out there. But I promise you that before this day is up, we are going to have someone who watches Lucas Urseg on a day-to-day basis. That is our goal. We have a White Sox person coming on the show. They just made a trade for a White Sox person. But Rob, this is my promise to you guys between now and 6 o'clock. We are going to find somebody that covers the Oakland Athletics. That is our goal today.
I mean, it's the goal, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people cover the Oakland Athletics because they're not really...
They're going to find somebody.
They're not really in Oakland.
They got
Oakland.
A newspaper or a podcast or something. Somebody covers the A's. Somebody is still an A's fan. We're going to find that one individual. This is like the golden ticket. We're going to find one person that covers the Oakland A's. All right, let's talk about the two players that they did actually get. Let's update you guys on this. If you just are tuning in, the Royals, they're out here making moves. They're out here making trades. The first trade, this is maybe the more simple trade of the two. They traded for Paul DeJong. He currently plays for the White Sox. Now, Paul is hitting for a little bit of pop so far this season. He plays for the White Sox. He has been in 102 games so far this season. He has 14 doubles. He has 18 home runs, 41 RBIs. Now, he is not a guy that walks. He has 14 walks this season in 363 plate appearances. He also is a guy that strikes out a bunch, but Who among baseball players doesn't strike out a bunch? It seems like all of them strike out. He is not really a guy that's going to hit for average. He is not a guy that's really going to get on base. But it sounds like the Royals' plan is to use him as a Nick Lofton, Garrett Hampton kind of improvement. So I don't think it's a bad deal. They didn't give up a whole lot. I don't think you can really love this deal. But if you were bringing him in as a 21st, 22nd player on your team, hit for a little bit of pop, maybe you play once or twice a week, I don't think this is a bad trade. There are certainly some positives of this move, but a player who is now playing on his fourth team in 15 months, there obviously are some negatives attached to that player as well.
I feel like a different way of saying what we've been saying for so long is the Royals were going to find imperfect players. Like, they were not going to be in the Jazz Chisholm sweepstakes. And I saw another major move that happened a little bit ago. The Padres are giving up a ton to go get Tanner Scott, the closer for the Marlins. Like, the Royals were going to operate in a much, much different ballpark. And I think in the area they've operated, they've done a really good job. They gave up two prospects in their top 30 per J.J. Cooper in Baseball America, plus another unranked one to go get the reliever from the A's, Lucas Irsaeg. And they also gave up a single A lottery ticket arm to go get Paul DeJong. Like, maybe Paul DeJong isn't a world beater. Maybe he's not Ben Zobrist. But you know what he is? He's better than Garrett Hampson. He has more home runs than Nick Lofton. He is an insurance policy at second base. We know Michael Massey has had back problems this season. I don't think it's you have any reason to be upset with either of these moves. They've bolstered their bullpen again for this year and beyond, and they got a better middle infield option going forward. It's hard to be too upset with those two moves they've made.
If you had to give this a grade, what would you give it as a grade? I think this is a C-minus move. It's just a small move. You know how I said a couple of days ago about Michael Lorenzen, maybe it was yesterday, the days just kind of run together, that it was a low risk, middle kind of reward? That's what it feels like in this scenario with Paul DeJong. I mean, he's a 30-year-old utility infielder. Again, he has played, I mean, since the beginning of the 2023 season, this is now his fifth team. This is his fifth team that he has played for. He has played for the Cardinals, Blue Jays, Giants, White Sox, and Royals since the beginning of the 2023 season. So I don't think you can go into this with much different expectations than what I think the baseball card tells you that he is. And his baseball card tells you that he is a guy that can hit for some pop, a guy that can come in for you in a pinch, but he is not a starting caliber player. So based on that trade, you also have to factor in acquisition costs. What did you pay to acquire said player? I would give this trade a C minus, possibly a C. I think it's a low-end kind of trade. Now, the Lucas Irsaeg move, I actually kind of like that move. You were talking about a player that they have club control of until 2030, so a long time of club control for him. You were also talking about a player that I think could be your seventh inning guy, could be your eighth inning guy, could also be your closer if need be. You also were talking about a guy who gets strikeouts. So far this season, he has 41 strikeouts. He has 13 walks so far this season. He also has a handful of saves. I really like the Lucas Irsaeg move. You and I have both applauded J.J. Piccolo for this. They said at the beginning of this journey that their biggest goal was to trade for a little bit for the here and now, and also thinking to what next year's team could be like. Lucas Irsaeg could be their closer for 2025. They just possibly traded for their closer. Now, you got free agency. You can make some other moves. There's an hour left in the trade deadline. I'd be a little surprised if they made moves, but they've also made four moves in the last 2 weeks, so maybe they will make another move. But Harvey will be part of their future. Irsaeg will be part of their future. Maybe Michael Lorenzen is back next year, but you got him on a three-month rental. And Paul DeJong, a guy who has kind of bounced around from here to there, there's also a chance that he is on the roster next year. So for the most part, I think they've done a good job.
I look at the Paul DeJong move in the same vein that I look at the Michael Lorenzen move. I think it could make the team better in 2024. And that is the ultimate goal of the trade deadline, is to make yourself better. Do I think they got light years better? No. But I don't think they got worse. They gave up a single-A lottery arm. Now, maybe that lottery arm turns into Clayton Kershaw. Who knows? But they improved their roster. They got a guy now who is an 18-home run guy. He'd be third on the team in homers behind Perez and Witt. So he's got a little pop. He's a rotational middle infielder. And they gave up a lottery pick to get him. That's similar to Jared Lorenzen. Hey, we give up a guy that we don't view very highly. Fangraphs has our 36th prospect for a guy that think can help us this season. Those are the type of moves I thought the Royals would be making, and they've made them. It's smart. It's savvy. It's low price and can help you in 2024. Those are the dreams.
So coming up on the other side, we will take a trip to Chicago to learn more about Paul DeJong. We're still working on trying to get an Oakland A's guy. I reached out to Dallas Braden to try to get him on the show today. There's not that many options, but I have told myself, I've made it a goal of mine, we will get somebody that covers the Oakland A's between now and the end of the show so we can learn together about Lucas Urseg. I want to learn more about him from somebody that watched him. So that is our goal. We appreciate you guys' support, and we will reach this goal by the end of the day. Coming up on the other side, let's go to the South Side. We'll be joined by Mark Carmen, who covers baseball in Chicago. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This.
Welcome back into the show on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We are trying to track down Mark Carmen to learn more about Paul DeJong. I also threw a little birdie. I got some Oakland A's numbers. We are going to get somebody on the show today that covers the A's. Now, I thought the White Sox would be easy, but Rob is looking very befuddled back there, so maybe it's not easy right now. But we were trying to get somebody on from the White Sox. I think we got it done. We got it done, Rob? Oh, boy. Look at you. That's why you're one of the best in the business. Let's go to the phone lines right now. You know what? He's a little late, but we'll forgive him for this. Mark Carmen joins us on the show today. Carm, I haven't seen you since Nick got married.
C-Dot, my apologies. I'm getting in a car with a couple of kids. Who are the most amazing children of all time, so apologize if this gets a little noisy. But you guys, I think you have the piece that is putting the Royals on top, so I'm super excited for what Paul DeJong is going to bring you. This is the moment I'm sure the Royals fans have been waiting for since, 2015.
See, I don't know why you had to do this. I came on here for very serious, pure reasons, to try to learn something, and here you go starting with sarcasm, Carm. That's not the way to do this.
Why not? I mean, Paul DeJong is a career 220 hitter who has a little pop. He's got 18 home runs. And C-Dot, he only one time this year ran the bases and forgot how many outs there were and ended the game and completely cost the White Sox a victory that they could have had, and they've only got 27.
I mean, that's because you guys have poor leadership. You know, when you're on a bad baseball team that's going nowhere every day, you just go to the park, you know, you have no chance to win. You just lose sight of some of the fundamentals. But now you throw that man in the middle of a playoff push and he knows about good baseball coming from St. Louis and having a chance to compete for the postseason. We're talking about a guy that's been an all-star before. Don't you talk bad on Paul DeJong.
Listen, if I'm being serious for 38 seconds, I think it's a solid pickup. He's a veteran, can play all over the infield, does have the pop. I don't know how you guys exactly are going to use him. I need to follow the Royals a little bit tighter. But this isn't going to be a solid piece in the clubhouse. He was well-respected in Chicago on a White Sox team that, you know, obviously is more than struggling. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like he gave up a whole lot. Class A guy, not in your top 30. Take a flyer on Paul DeJong as a depth piece. I like it.
I mean, the Royals are in your city today. You don't have to watch them more closely. Why don't you just go to the game tonight? I mean, I'm sure plenty of tickets are available. You probably can sit in the White Sox dugout if you want to go to this game right now. Why don't you just go watch the Royals tonight, to go watch Bobby Witt Jr., the best baseball player in the world?
See that? I'm watching Caleb Williams inside and out. I can talk to you all about Roma Dunze. I can talk about you all. We'll probably see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year. I am not, admittedly, I'm not spending enough time on the South Side or even the North Side for that matter. Baseball in Chicago is pretty bleak these days. That's, but we got the Bears. We got Caleb. We got Patrick Mahomes too, baby, and Caleb.
Okay, I just want to point out that you said baseball is bleak and we have the Bears to get us through, because you have never said that sentence before.
This is the lowest time in Chicago sports history that I can remember, and it's been going on for about a half a decade. So, well, I'm worn down, C-Dot. I'm worn down.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you look at the Bulls. I mean, they certainly have a chance to, I don't know, be in the play-in game next year, so you have a lot to cheer for. Carm, on a very serious note, I think there's kind of two different ways to look at DeJong just offensively. You mentioned his average. Okay. He is hitting .228. You mentioned his on-base percentage. He's at .275, but he does have 18 home runs this year. He does have 41 RBIs, and he has 14 doubles. Like, he is a guy that has shown you a little bit of pop. So if you're going to use him as a utility infielder, he's going to play on Sunday, play in case of an injury or break in case of emergency, that's not a bad pickup.
No, I agree. Listen, and you know who you want to deal with in life, C-Dot? You want to deal with GMs that don't know what they're doing. And my guy, when I got to work with you in Kansas City from 09 to 11, was Chris Getz. And I still like Chris Getz, but I have no idea what Chris Getz is doing with the White Sox. He just had to attach Michael Kopech alongside Eric Fetty to try to make a trade where Kopech could have gotten you pieces just by himself. So I really don't think he knows exactly what he's doing. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I hope I am proven wrong, because I'd like to see Chris Getz succeed. But bottom line, if you're a team making a deal, you want to work with a GM who's not the shrewdest guy on the planet. And I think the Royals are doing exactly that right now, as far as I can tell, with Chris Getz.
Carm, I'll get you out of here with one thing. You know, every time I have you on the show, I have to ask you for a Michael Jordan story. And I know you're seeing LeBron right now. And the fact that LeBron is doing this at 39 years old, Michael Jordan was washed at this point in his career. And LeBron is still one of the 10 best players in the NBA. But that's neither here nor there. I know you're watching Team USA in the Olympics. I want one Michael Jordan story.
So it's just so funny to me that there's people out there, Nick Wright, Danny Parkins, who claim that this USA basketball team is better than the Dream Team, and they knew they lost to the South Sudan. And then I'm going to hear that competition is so much better now. This is blasphemy. But I'll give you this one. 1991, Bulls win the championship. They beat the Lakers in five games. They fly back from L.A., C-Dot. They land at O'Hare. They drive. Michael used to live on Windy Hill, which was the name of my intramural team at the University of Iowa. Regular house on a regular street. We went to greet him. Jordan pulls in his white Porsche, MJJJ. You can find it on The Last Dance. He pulls in, stares out at the 40 kids in his little subdivision, just staring there looking. And he extends his hand and he says, thanks for coming. And everybody went up and shook his hand, except for me, because I didn't want to bother him, which was the worst decision I ever made in my Michael Jordan life. But Mike just, he greeted everybody, said, thanks for coming. Appreciate you being here. Championship number one on the way to six. By the way, 6-0, never lost. Certainly didn't lose, scoring 8 points to J.J. Barea, up 2-1 in the finals on a favorite team and blowing the series. Disqualified on your other side of the argument. But thank you, C-Dot, for giving me the platform to say that.
No, Carm, that's perfectly fine. I just want to make sure I understand this. You went to Michael Jordan's house, but then you didn't want to bother him? That was the logic you had?
Yeah, it was terrible logic. Absolutely horrible logic. Should have shook in his hand. I was already bugging him. Correct. You're right. Bad job.
That is our guy, Mark Carman, who kind of watches the White Sox. Thanks a lot, Carm.
You got to do that.
That is Mark Carman joining us on the show today. Rob, I know why we had Carm as the guest, and I'm happy to talk to Carm. Carm ain't never seen Paul DeJong play baseball before. He could not pick that man out of a lineup. I thought you were going to get us somebody that could tell us what kind of player he was, that could break him down. That man said, I'm focused on the Bears. He is not watching the White Sox. I thought you were going to get us their Josh Vernier. They got to have a podcast. Somebody has a White Sox podcast. I didn't know you were going to get us a guy who hasn't been to a game this year. I didn't know that was the play.
This may stun you about the Sox and the A's, but not a lot of people are keeping up with those teams.
Oh, my goodness.
If someone had called you last trade deadline and said, hey, can you pop on? The Royals just gave us Aroldis Chapman. Would you have been able to help?
I would have gave you the number of someone that could have helped you. I would have gave you the number. No, I am not the person to have. Sometimes that happens. Somebody says, hey, can you come on to do this? Hey, I'm not... Hey, I know you see Kansas City. I am not the person to come on your show to talk about Kansas basketball. I am not that guest. I can help lead you in the direction of who should come on your show. But if you want me to come on your show and talk about Kansas basketball, I'm not qualified enough to do that. Even though I think I am qualified to do it, I don't want to do it. I'm going to get you somebody who can do it. So, yeah, if you had called me about the Aroldis Chapman trade, I would have just told you, hey, I'm not the person to do this. You should talk to Josh Vernier. There's people I can get you their information. You know, I'll get you a Cody Tapp. I'll get you a David Leskie. I can get you a number of an individual. I'm just not the person you should call. That's not my lane. That's not my strength.
I think people in Oakland, A, have given up on the A's.
I want to know why Carm didn't say that when you asked him about Paul DeJong, why he didn't say that that wasn't his strength.
He did tell me, like, the White Sox stink, but I got you. I mean, that's the exact quote I heard.
He had us. Where are we at on the A's guest?
We have several texts out. We will
see. Several texts. Have we called any of these people?
All of them. Every single one of them.
Okay. All right. I'm just asking questions, man. I want to make sure that we are doing our absolute best today.
I think every single person who covers the A's has been contacted on behalf of this show.
Okay. I just want to make
sure. All six of them.
I just want to make sure that we are doing our absolute best, the best that we can, to make sure that we're, you know, taking care of the listener and that we're getting people on the show. Let me play this for you. This was the trade that the Royals made yesterday. We had Jared Sandler on the show, and we asked him what they got from Michael Lorenzen. The Royals are making all kind of moves right now. They're making moves for Paul DeJong. They're making moves for Lucas Erceg. They're making moves for Michael Lorenzen, Hunter Harvey. I mean, the Royals are, they might be one of the biggest buyers at the deadline.
He is a really high-end competitor, and I know that's a word, you know, being a competitor, whatever. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. Obviously, to some degree, they're all competitive. But I'll just give you an example. Michael Lorenzen's last outing with the Rangers was yesterday, and it followed less than 24 hours after he had a horrible start. He pitched on Saturday as a starter, went two-thirds of an inning. He didn't finish the first inning. And then the next day, yesterday, the Rangers starting pitcher, John Gray, got hurt during his warm-ups moments before he was about to throw his first pitch of the game. And so the Rangers had to go to the bullpen with their starter not even throwing a single pitch. And they were in a really tough spot. And so Michael Lorenzen went to Bruce Bochy, said, hey, I can cover. Let me get back out there. He didn't have to do that. He started the day before, even if he only pitched two-thirds of an inning. But he went back out through multiple innings and really helped the team. You know, I think he's a competitor. And obviously the Royals are playing in a high leverage situation, fighting for a playoff spot and hopefully getting back into the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think the moment will be too big for him. So in that situation, I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's just a matter of whether the stuff is good enough to get out in big moments.
I don't know if we can use the term makeover to the Royals bullpen. I don't think that is maybe the accurate word to use, but the Royals they've undergone some changes when it comes to their bullpen. I mean, they added Lucas Erceg. They just got him. He's a swing-and-miss guy. Michael Lorenzen, who was an all-star last year for the Detroit Tigers. They also got Hunter Harvey. They pick him up in a trade. I mean, the Royals have been very, very active over the course of the last couple of weeks. If you wanted to see if the Royals were going to be about it as we get closer to the deadline, they have answered the question. They have made four trades over the course of the last 2 weeks. They have picked up three bullpen arms. They also have picked up a bat. Now, it's not an impact bat. This is not a starting bat for the Kansas City Royals, but this is an upgrade over Nick Lofton. This is an upgrade over Garrett Hampson. I mean, this is a guy that you think can help you in certain spots and can really fill in. So I give JJ and his team a lot of credit for what they have been able to do, and we'll see how it plays itself out. Rob, did we do it?
We have an A's guest on the line. MLB.com A's beat writer Martin Gallegos joins us now on the show.
Okay, Martin, we were not sure if somebody covered the A's. We've been trying to get somebody on who covers the A's for the last hour and a half. We finally have somebody. Thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, let's start with this. The Royals, they make a trade. They trade for Lucas Erceg. What kind of pitcher did they get?
Yeah, definitely high-velocity, back-end of the bullpen guy. Really, I mean, if Mason Miller hadn't kind of emerged from nowhere to be the closer this year, I thought Lucas Erceg was going to be that guy. He impressed last year in the bullpen role at the end of the season, and this year came in, had a really strong first half. He's had a couple of pickups here and there, but definitely a lot more command than he showed last year, which has been really encouraging. And, you know, he's been a quality setup man. I'd say he's been one of the better setup men in the league. Obviously, the A's haven't had as many saves other clubs, but when he's been able to come on in a close game, more times than not, he's able to get the job done and get the ball to Mason Miller in the ninth.
Yeah, I'm looking at him as a guy and just going through his box scores, and obviously we're having you on just because you're far more familiar with him than I am. We're looking at a guy who has 41 strikeouts this year and 13 walks. What I think the Royals really need is a swing and a miss guy, and that sounds like that's what they have with Erceg.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's a specialty, swing and miss. You know, he gets strikeouts. He always comes on in tough situations, is able to get that big strikeout when it's needed. And, you know, he's one of those guys who thrives on the strikeout. If he doesn't get the strikeout, you know, it can be problems. You know, like I said, last year there was a couple issues with walks, but it seems like he's been able to limit those a little bit more efficiently this year, just with more experience. I mean, he came up as a rookie last year and kind of came out of nowhere and impressed. So, you know, he's in a short amount of time really emerged as a really reliable eighth inning, maybe even ninth inning guy if you really need him to save a game for you.
Right now, we're learning a little bit more about Lucas Erceg. The Royals just traded for him earlier today.
Martin, if you were the manager of the Royals, how would you use him? Is he a seventh inning guy? Is he an eighth inning guy? Is he a long relief guy? Or the Royals could possibly use him to be a closer. Where do you think he could be most effective for this team down the stretch?
I think he's shown capable of being definitely a setup guy. I think if needed to be a closer, he could do it. You know, obviously he hasn't done that with any amount of consistency, but he's come on in the ninth sometimes when Mason Miller wasn't available, and he's been able to get the job done, so he definitely can do that if needed. But I'd say he's probably more of an eighth inning guy. He has gotten a couple of multi-inning outings as well, so if you need him for the seventh and the eighth, I mean, you could possibly use him in those situations, you know, if you pick your spots there. Definitely he'd get more than three outs if needed. So if he comes on in the seventh with runners on, maybe an out, two outs, he needs to get that last out and pitch one more inning, he's shown capable of doing that. But I'd say around the eighth inning, that's kind of a sweet spot. He's been a setup man for them since the jump this season.
I mean, Martin, I am a little bit surprised of it. I mean, I guess I can't say I'm that surprised that Oakland traded a player like this. This is the purpose of the deadline. But, I mean, he's the guy who also has some club control. You know, you got him for cheap this year. The Royals have club control over him for 30, 31. They have club control of him over until 2030. I am a little bit surprised for a guy that has so much time left and doesn't cost a lot of money. I'm surprised that Oakland traded him.
Yeah, you know, it could be a little bit surprising. I think they really like the kid that they got. I mean, the two guys that they got, the pitchers from the Royals, and the number four prospect, Mason Barnett and Will Klein. You know, Klein comes with, you know, a lot of command issues, but I mean, I think they feel like they see 100 miles per hour. If he could control that in any form, he could be a solid reliever. And Barnett seems like he could be a starter in this rotation, maybe as early as next year. And they really need starting pitching help. I mean, their depth in the minor leagues, as far as starting pitching goes, is really, really low. They don't have a lot of guys, you know, up in higher levels of the minor leagues that are even close to major league ready. So I think it was more about the return here. And on top of that, you know, they are a rebuilding club. So Lucas Ercig, while he is still under control for a lot more years, he is, I believe, 29. So, you know, a little bit on the older side for as far as if you're a rebuilding team, counting on him for the next few years, I think he's better off sending him out to a team that's, you know, a contender and trying to get some prospects that can help you towards the end of this rebuild, which the A's hope is coming up here in the next year or two.
I've got two more questions for you. I guess this is more of a comment than anything, Martin. It sounds like you like Ercig. Like, just listening to what you're talking about, it sounds like you like him as a player and think that this is a good move for a contending club.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's proven that he's a really good major league reliever, I think, in this league this year. I mean, I know, you know, it's only one season, but you look at just kind of the, you know, the analytics and everything, he's been a really reliable reliever. And on top of that, he's a really nice guy. So I'm happy for him to go to a contender. You guys will probably get to know a little bit more about his story, his background. It's a great story. You know, he converted from position player to reliever. He's been open about, you know, he had some issues with alcoholism in the past, and then he's now sober. And he's kind of, once he turned that part of his life around, he's, you know, the positives have come in the form of reaching the big leagues and becoming an everyday player, you know, in the bullpen. So really a great story for him as well. So, you know, aside from the baseball stuff, just as a person, also happy for him to see him go to a contender. And I think, you know, the Royals are getting a really good pitcher over there.
Last question here. I'm sure you get asked about this question every day. What's the future of Oakland with the schedule? I've heard that they don't have the funding yet in Las Vegas. They're going to Sacramento. It seems like it is a very tumultuous time to cover the team. What's the latest with, I guess, everything going on A's related?
Yeah, so I mean, all we know for sure right now is they're going to be playing in Sacramento next year. They have an agreement to play there from 2025 to 2027 with an option year for 2028. So we know they could be in Sacramento for either 3 years or 4 years. As far as the Vegas stuff, you know, it's so far away. I know there's still some kind of moving parts there. I'm not even fully, you know, in the loop on all those things. You know, I try to keep up with it as much as I can. But they are still targeting 2028 to open that new stadium in Las Vegas. Obviously, there's no shovel in the ground yet or anything. There's still a little bit of time for that. But I think after the season and the off season is when they kind of, you know, need to get the ball rolling on that stuff as far as, you know, the city council stuff out there in Las Vegas with the funding. But, yeah, I mean, all we know is next year, the next 3 years, they'll be playing Sacramento, and that's obviously going to be another interesting thing, playing in a minor league park, kind of a smaller stadium compared to the other stadiums around the league. And, you know, it's a weird spot to be in, right, because there's, you know, not really a stable home for the next few years, but, you know, they're trying to make the best of it on the field for sure.
I told you guys that we were going to get an A's guest. It took some time, but we eventually got it so we could get the latest on Lucas Ercig. Martin, man, thanks a lot for hopping on today, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is Martin Gallegos. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, joining us on the show today. Rob, man, me and you, man, just two-man game, man. Two-man game. Told you we were going to get somebody from the A's. I knew we were going to get. It was going to take a little bit, but we eventually got somebody to get us the latest on Lucas Hrsek. I really like what I heard. I really like the Hrsek. I mean, it probably goes without saying because they spent the most to acquire him as a prospect. But if you wanted legitimate, real help in the bullpen, they went out and got it. This is one of those things. Now, I'll be a little critical of the text line here. This is a little bit here. This is a little friendly fire. Usually the text line wants improvement, and then they find out how much it costs for improvement, and then you gave up too much. Like, wait, hold on. Like, you guys have been upset about the bullpen. They then went out and fixed the bullpen. Like, this is exactly what they needed. A guy with 41 strikeouts, a guy with 13 walks, a guy who is a swing and a miss guy, a guy with a sub-4 ERA who could also close for the Royals. You were not getting that guy in this market for cheap. The cost of goods is going up. The cost of goods is going up at Hy-Vee. It's also going up at the trade deadline. There's more teams that are in it than ever before. So if you want a legitimate bullpen guy, you are not giving, especially with club control the way they have with him. They have control over Hrsek until 2030. The World Cup will be here and gone, and they will still have this guy on the team. If you do that, it is not cheap to acquire said player. So it's going to cost you a little bit. So this answers a short-term problem. This helps you in the long term if you're the Royals. And then you also, like, I would say they made a variance of moves. You have two long-term moves on your team. Hunter Harvey's a long-term move. He's going to be on the team next year. Hrsek is going to be on the team next year. And then you got a couple of rental moves. Michael Lorenzen is a rental move. He probably won't be on the team next year. Paul DeJong, a rental move, probably not going to be on the team next year. Your acquisition costs for those players were lower. So I guess maybe the point of this is you can't be so frustrated with the bullpen. The Royals didn't go out and make a trade to try to solve the problem and then tell me they spent too much on the prospects. No, they didn't spend too much on the prospects. That was how much it cost. The same way that we talk about free agency, and you guys are like, oh man, I can't believe that guy. Well, that's what the market says. That's what the market says.
I also would say, based on Baseball America, yeah, they gave up prospects for Hrsek, but it wasn't like they gave up one and two. Like, they were able to keep their top two blue chip prospects for an organization. Let's be honest, Carrington, if you read the Baseball Americas, the fan graphs, they are not considered one of the top farm systems in baseball. So they kept their top end talent and added talent that can help the Major League club this year and beyond. Even me, Mr. Prospect Love Draft Picks guy, is fine with the move they've made because they got long-term return on investment.
No, I'm 100% with you, man. I'm 100% with you. Rob, we did this together. I can't take all the credit. I would if I could take all the credit. You can't take all the credit. I don't think you would take all the credit. That would allow me to then take all the credit. But this was a real two-man game here. A real two-man game. Who are we? Am I Wesley Snipes and you're... Who are we?
Am I Jack Harlow?
That's probably a little back. You're not Woody Harrelson. That's a little too strong. I don't. You can't be Woody. I can be Wesley. You can't be Woody, though. Maybe I'm Shaq and you're like Scott Skiles on NBA Jam. You think that's a good one?
No. That's the... You're Shaq and I'm Brian Shaw.
Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
We'll get back to real serious sports things here coming up in a bit. I do want to share a little bit of information with you guys. Electronic Arts announced that 5 million copies of the college football video game on PlayStation and Xbox were sold in the first week of the game. 5 million copies. Makes me sad that the game was gone for so long. There was always a market for this, but the NCAA, they just wouldn't let the players make any money off their name, likeness, and image. So congratulations to them. Very happy with the game so far. The reason I'm telling you that, I guess, number one, how many people bought the game. Number two is, Rob, did you see that the Madden ratings are starting to trickle out? So I guess maybe two parts. First part is, how can you want me to take this game seriously if they have Garrett Wilson as the 27th best wide receiver in the National Football League? How can you expect me to take this game seriously when Breece Hall is the 16th best running back in the league? Now, you know I'm not the biggest Breece Hall fan in the world. 16th is crazy, though. There are not 15 running backs in the league that are better than Breece Hall. I get how the ratings can be a little off in college. How can you get the ratings off in the NFL game? Just doesn't make any sense to me. I also saw the wide receiver numbers for the Chiefs. So they have Hollywood Brown at 81. Rashee Rice is also at 81. Kadarius Toney is at a 77. Xavier Worthy is at 75. Mecole Hardman is at 76. Justin Watson, 74. Justin Ross and Sky Moore are both at 72. Do you have any issue with their ratings?
Hold on. Justin Ross and Sky Moore have the same rating?
72.
Listen, I'm not a Sky Moore person. I don't want this to come off like I'm pro Sky Moore, but I mean, Justin Ross has what? 4 NFL catches?
Yeah, he does.
I mean, maybe. I'm trying to remember all the catches in my head. There's the one against the Vikings, and then I can't remember more. I'm sure there are, but Sky Moore is not good. Sky Moore is going to get cut. Sky Moore is a failed second-round pick. That's how I feel about Sky Moore. But having him is the same for a guy who has basically not been on the football field is wild to me.
I'm just... Kadarius Toney with a 77 is crazy to me.
Well, that's his running back rating, right?
No, that's his player rating. I also don't think that Brown and Rice should have the same rating as well. I think that Rice should be rated higher than he is. Based on what we saw last year, I don't know if Rice is maybe getting the respect that he deserves for the kind of season that he put together. Now, some of it was out of necessity. The Chiefs didn't really have a lot of options at wide receiver, but if you have the second most receiving yards of any first-year player last year behind Puka Nacua, at 81, I'm guessing that's not what Sam Laporta is. I'm guessing that's not what Zay Flowers or Jordan Addison is. If those guys are ranked there, why is Rashee Rice? Why is he only 81? That feels low to me for him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with 81 being low, but I mean, I don't think he's a 90. Like, I think like an 84, 85 is probably right.
Yeah, which
like,
is a drastic difference in 81. Difference. Yeah, a drastic difference.
Any beef with Marquise being this? I mean, Marquise Brown has shown some high-level productivity in the league. He has a 1,000-yard career.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are low. I saw that Xavier Worthy, he also got 98 speed. He's the third fastest player on the game behind. It's one Tyreek. Jameson Williams was number two on the list. My guy Jameson from the Lions. This is going to be a big year for Jameson Williams. I don't care if I'm the only one that still believes in him. I still believe that there is a good receiver inside Jameson Williams, and I think we're going to see it this year. I'm still a believer.
I mean, of course, it's a big year for Jameson Williams. The Lions over-under went up. So if you're going to really cash out on FanDuel, you got to put more in to get that money out. You can't just be playing the DraftKings over 6.5 anymore on the Lions. That's what's difficult about Jameson Williams this year.
Here you go. That was in the past, all right? Also, I know he had a little gambling problem, you said it but he doesn't have one anymore.
Considering how much you love Jameson Williams, why don't you consider him the best transfer portal player of all time?
I mean, because he's not. Because he's not. I try to be accurate on this show. I'm not in the business of lying to you guys. No, I try to keep it accurate with you guys. All right, so there is a rumor right now that is circulating the interwebs, and the rumor is that we are going to see Creed Humphrey sign the highest-paid center contract in the National Football League sometime between now and the end of the week. We also are expected to see a Harrison Butker extension. He is also entering the last year of his contract. Both of those make a lot of sense. All right. This is what the contract would look like for Creed Humphrey based on who's the highest-paid center right now. Eric McCoy is the highest paid center. He plays for the Saints. He signed a 5-year, $60 million deal with a $33 million guarantee. You can live with that if that's what Creed Humphrey gets. I'm assuming he gets a little bit more than that deal of total value. You also see the per year average high is 13.5. So I'm going to guess, if you're asking me right now, what do you think that Creed Humphrey gets? I'm going to say 4 for $56 feels about right to me for him. That feels about right. 4 for $56. That's what I'll guess. I'm also going to guess the 4 for $56. I think he gets $45 million guaranteed, and he signs the highest paid contract as a rookie. That feels about right to me for him. If I had to give a crystal ball prediction on what I think his contract's going to look like.
Let me ask this. If the internet rumors are right and your numbers are accurate, does this mean that Trey Smith's a free agent at the end of the year?
I mean, I thought he was going to be a free agent from the very, very, very beginning.
I thought they would keep Trey over Creed. And that's no disrespect to Creed. Just Trace, I think guard is a little bit more valuable than center. I mean, look what they did when they paid Joe Tooney. They clearly feel a high value connection to the guard position, albeit left versus right guard, but I'm surprised that they picked Creed over Trey, if that's what this means. It also probably means no Nick Bolton, but I think we kind of knew that once camp started.
Yeah, it's also just really interesting that, you know, like what the guard market looks like in the National Football League and just how different it is. Like you look at, you know, what Joe Tooney got paid, what Quentin Nelson got paid, Chris Lystrom, like Braden Smith. Like there's these big guard numbers in the National Football League. There really aren't a lot of big center numbers in the National Football League. So I've always just thought from a cost perspective, it makes a lot more sense to keep Creed Humphrey than it is to keep Trey Smith. Like I think Trey Smith is going to sign a deal at the end of this season with the team, and we are going to look at it and say, man, good for you. Remember the same way you felt that way whenever Tre'Varius Ward signed with the Niners? Tre'Varius Ward was a good corner. He's turned into a Pro Bowl caliber corner. When you saw that deal, it was, oh, hey, good for him. That's not a deal that we were going to sign. We're happy that you got that money. You want to see guys in the NFL who have played well, done things the right way, been great in the community. You want to see them get paid. I think Trey Smith is going to get a lot of money next offseason. I just don't think it's coming from the Chiefs. I think he is going to sign a really big contract. He is a lot of things that teams want. Physical, aggressive, helps you in the run game, also part of a winning team and knows what the culture should be like. Teams spend a lot of money for that in free agency, so I'm fully expecting him to get taken care of. I mean, Joe Tooney got 5 for $80 when he signed with Kansas City. Are we sure that's not a deal that Trey Smith is going to get? Are we sure that there's not going to be a team that is in a similar situation to Kansas City? Their offensive line is in shambles. They need to solidify things with a couple of different pieces. Maybe he doesn't get the 5 for $80. I could see him getting, I mean, if that's what you're telling me the top of that market is, maybe he gets 5 for $75. I don't think that's outside the play for the Chiefs offensive line. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get to, we have J.J. Piccolo is going to do a press conference.
Vern will join us in 5 minutes, and then J.J. Piccolo speaks to the media in 20 minutes. We will have both right here on The Drive.
All that coming up. Keep it right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.